Good afternoon, 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
There have been multiple cases across the country where students have been prevented from distributing copies of the United States Constitution in open outdoor areas of their campuses.
Former Ohio University student Isaac Smith tells a U.S. Senate panel today there's no such thing as free speech on many college campuses.
Police are investigating an apparent murder in Floyd County.
And The Rock is dedicated today at Moorhead State University.
In sports, the baseball career of Reds pitcher Bronson Arroyo may be over.
But Luke has the stocks.
Some clouds this evening with a low of 61 degrees. The complete forecast after this news.
An investigation is underway in Floyd County following the discovery of a body in Teaberry. WYMT is reporting that Sheriff John Hunt says the body was found on Red Morgue Branch Road Monday night. He says a shooting had occurred near the place where the body was found. Hunt says the investigation is continuing.
An elderly Lawrence County man who is missing since last Wednesday has been found dead. According to WYMT, sheriff's deputies discovered 72-year-old William Perry in his car about 6 miles from his home in Louisa. A passing driver on Yellow Creek Road spotted Perry's vehicle around 4:30 p.m. yesterday. Deputies say he died in a car crash. The Lawrence County Sheriff's Department has thanked those involved in the search and expressed condolences to Perry's family.
An 18-year-old Ashland man has been sentenced in Boyd Circuit Court to 15 years in prison for having sexual relations with a child. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Kyle Sturgeon pleaded guilty Friday to first-degree sodomy. He had been facing the charge since his arrest in February 2016. According to police, Sturgeon offered two children money to enter a wooded area with him in August of 2015. He exposed himself to the victims and performed a sexual act, according to the victim's mother. Sturgeon is jailed in the Boyd County Detention Center.
Kentucky's highest court has agreed to weigh in on the governor's power to abolish and replace boards of trustees at public universities. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The Kentucky Supreme Court has set an August 18th hearing date in the suit filed last year by Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear. Beshear launched the legal challenge after Governor Matt Bevin dismantled and reformed the University of Louisville Board of Trustees, telling reporters he saw a theme developing in Bevin's executive orders.
And they continue an unmistakable pattern of reorganizations that occur right before major decisions need to be made. So apparently, the governor can control those decisions, not the board.
But Bevin has pushed back, pointing out that Beshear's father, former Governor Steve Beshear, issued more than 100 executive orders dealing with state boards. The General Assembly passed a law giving more legal weight to Bevin's order in January, but now the Supreme Court says it's prepared to hear the case anyway. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says today's dedication of the Moorhead State University Dining Commons that bears his name has left him proud and nearly speechless. The Moorhead Democrat received his bachelor's and master's degrees from MSU and says the university has meant a great deal to his family and many others in the region.
Unbelievable, to be honest. It's helped bring hope and opportunity to so many. And for my father to have attended here, myself and my oldest daughter to have degrees from here, and you can see families just like that for generations that have been here and been able to experience just what I did.
The dining hall is still under construction and spans 25,000 square feet. It overlooks Moorhead State's residential community. The nearly $23 million project is a combination dining area and parking garage. It's funded from student fees and private contributions.
Dr. Jason Bentley's stint as vice president of student success at Moorhead State University was a short one. Less than a year after coming to MSU, he has accepted a new job as Dean for Retention and Student Success at Ferris State University. Bentley assumes his new duties August 8th. Moorhead State President Dr. Wayne Andrews says Bentley's time at MSU has been highly productive, and he leaves the university with a solid framework in place. Andrews says he'll discuss transition plans with incoming Morehead State President Jay Morgan. Dr. Morgan becomes MSU's 14th president July 1st.
A former student at Ohio University told a Senate committee in Washington today that many colleges across the country are restricting free speech and are doing so unlawfully. Isaac Smith says he was part of a group at OU called Students Defending Students, and every year they produced a T-shirt to promote the organization.
Our 2013 shirts, which displayed our founding slogan, "We get you off for free," proved to be unexpectedly controversial. I posted a picture on our official Twitter account of one of our members handing out flyers while wearing the shirt. A campus administrator saw the tweet and later told us that we were not to wear these shirts again. She told us that the shirts objectified women and, in a total head-scratcher, that they promoted prostitution.
Smith says SDS filed suit against Ohio University, was awarded $32,000, and OU then changed its free speech policies. However, he claims many other universities have restrictions similar to those formerly in place at the Athens campus.
State Senator Robin Webb says Kentucky does need to reform and modernize its tax code, but she's not sure lawmakers can get the job done in a short special session after August 15th. The Grayson Democrat says it all depends on how much can be worked out prior to the time that legislators return to Frankfurt.
We've talked about tax reform since I was elected in late 90s, but we have to do something. Our society's changed, our industrial base has changed, service has changed, and we do need to come up to speed. It's going to be, I think, more challenging, and it's going to take at least a week with an agreement. So I think before he calls a special session, we'll have something planned, or probably should wait until the general session.
Governor Bevin says he'll call a special session after mid-August to deal with tax reform and pensions.
Ford is pouring more money into its Louisville truck plant. The story from Suzanne Duvall.
The automaker is investing $900 million in its Kentucky truck plant for upgrades to build the new Ford Expedition and Lincoln Navigator. The company says both full-size SUVs will be exported to more than 55 markets globally, including China. Ford says the investment secures 1,000 hourly jobs at KTP. It's in addition to the $1.3 billion investment and 2,000 jobs created at the plant in 2015 to build the new Super Duty truck. Kentucky truck plant employs nearly 7,600 full-time hourly workers. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Senator Rand Paul says the military actions in which the U.S. is engaged in overseas are illegal because Congress never approved a use of force authorization. The Kentucky Republican made the charge at a hearing today of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Paul also believes they may be counterproductive.
These people remember the Battle of Karbala in 680 A.D. They have long memories. One of my favorite quotes is, "You have all the watches, but we have all the time." They're just going to be there, and they will wait us out. But we're not going to feed terrorism by having war in 60-some-odd countries and dropping drones on everybody that we think in a village is of a radical ideology.
Paul says it's not the fault of U.S. soldiers that civilians are sometimes killed accidentally during skirmishes with terrorists. The senator says American military personnel just shouldn't be placed in that position.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is accusing the chamber's Democrats of having a short memory when it comes to their complaints that the GOP is being too secretive about its work to craft a replacement for the Affordable Care Act. The Kentucky Republican claims that he remembers 7 years ago when senators from his party were left in the dark by Democrats while they drew up Obamacare.
Senator Reid was the majority leader. We were called into session the Monday after Thanksgiving, and we stayed here 7 days a week until Christmas Eve. So why did we stay in session 7 days a week from the Monday after Thanksgiving until Christmas Eve? Our Democrat friends didn't want anybody to go home. They didn't want anybody to go home and have to explain what they were in the process of writing.
McConnell says while Senate Republicans will likely be forced to use reconciliation to pass their health care bill, he calls that process open, adding that it provides all of the chamber's members a chance to review potential legislation and offer debate before any vote is taken.
Motorists on the Mountain Parkway are being advised to watch out for traffic changes in the Sawyersville area. Marshall Carrier is the state's manager for the $753 million Parkway renovation project. He says traffic is being moved back and forth between the east and westbound lanes as some bridge work is being wrapped up.
That's what a lot of the traveling public is going to see out there in the Kentucky 7 area and the Burning Fork Bridge area coming into the west end of Salyersville. That's exactly what's going on. A lot of traffic is going to be shifted over. That way, additional structures directly adjacent to the roadway can be completed.
According to Carrier, the work should be finished in the next day or so. As part of the Mountain Parkway project, about 30 miles of the highway will be widened to four lanes. It will also be extended by 16 miles between Salyersville and Prestonsburg.
The Moorhead-Ravenna County Community Recycling Center has received almost $42,000 from the Kentucky Pride Fund Recycling Grant Program. According to the center's manager, Colin Alexander, that's a significant amount of money for his agency.
Granted, you know, each dollar of that is accounted for already, but it's certainly a major step in the right direction for what I'm hoping and my team is hoping to accomplish here, and that's to, you know, provide an excellent service and get as much stuff out of the mainstream waste cycle as possible.
Alexander says the recycling center will use the money to purchase a new vertical baler, new business cardboard drop-off bins, some new festival bins, and to help grow the facility's curbside recycling program, which currently has 65 participants. Those using that service pay a fee of $10 per month.
Carter County is moving forward with the creation of a countywide tourism body that would highlight the county's parks and natural resources. MSPR's Jacob Lindbergh reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the Carter County Fiscal Court has approved seven people to sit on the newly formed commission. Melissa Bays, Renee Stewart, Chris Perry, Cara Johnson, Jonathan Lewis, Tony Collier, and Eric Rayburn will discuss ways to advertise attractions in the county and pull in potential visitors. The board consists of representatives of local restaurants, hotels, chambers of commerce, and appointments made by Judge Executive Mike Malone. The formation of the body has been in the works since last January, when the fiscal court directed County Attorney Brian Bays to draft an ordinance to create the commission. Board members will have staggered terms aimed to ensure an efficient rotation of commissioners. For MSPR News, I'm Jacob Lindbergh.
The Rowland County Public Library is hosting a summer reading program. The library holds meetings every Thursday for various age groups involved in the effort, from babies to adults. At the end of the summer, participants will be able to redeem the number of hours that they've logged for books from the library. Sandy Fleshman is the facility's head of children's services.
Trying to just build up the children's interest in reading, keeping from having the summer slide where they, you know, have nothing to do all summer, so they don't do anything, and it just kind of, they lose some of their learning.
There's more information from the library at 784-7137.
The National Endowment for the Arts has given the Lexington Children's Theater a $10,000 grant. LCT Development Director Rachel Ray says the money will be used to fund the theater group's fall production, The Ugly Duckling.
It is a new production, actually.
Once the show's run ends, Ray says the LCT...
It is a new production, actually, that has been written by our artistic director and our producing director, Larry and Vivian Snipes, and they have reworked the Hans Christian Andersen play, and it's going to be really amazing. We're all really excited to see it. And the production will not only perform here in our facility in downtown Lexington, but is going to tour all around the state in the fall of this year.
Once the show's run ends, Ray says the LCT will receive the cash from the grant at the end of 2017. She says it's technically already part of the organization's budget, but in cases like this, they usually spend the money first and then reimburse themselves when the grant funding comes in. Taking a look at your weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy with lows around 61. Tomorrow, sunshine and clouds mixed, highs of 88 degrees. Tomorrow night, very cloudy with lows near 68. Thursday, a 30% chance of scattered showers or thunderstorms in the afternoon with highs around 86 degrees. Thursday night, chance of rain at 50%, scattered thunderstorms developing late in the evening with lows at 71 degrees. And Friday, chance of rain at near 100% with thunderstorms likely. Chance that rainfall may reach 1 inch with highs of 78 degrees. Taking a look at your temperatures for the region, it's currently 84 degrees in Ashland, 82 in Flemingsburg, 83 in both Inez and Winchester, 84 in Lexington, and it is currently 82 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46 on our feature segment this afternoon, retailers who steal wages from their employees reportedly get less punishment than shoplifters who steal from those retailers. The Kentucky News Connection's Mary Sherman has details.
Retail employers in Kentucky and other states are stealing as much from their workers as shoplifters steal from their stores, according to a new report. The progressive policy group Demos compared minimum wage theft data from the Economic Policy Institute with shoplifting data from the Global Retail Theft Barometer. Between 2013 and 2015, it found employers underpaid or otherwise skimped on wages worth $15 billion each year. Shoplifters stole $14.7 billion in merchandise each of those years. Report author Amy Traub says retailers get a slap on the wrist for committing wage theft.
The retailer that's stealing millions of dollars in wages from its employees often faces a lower risk of punishment and really a lighter penalty than the shoplifter who nabs a pair of shoes off the shelves of the store.
The highest civil federal penalty for wage theft violators is repaying the stolen wages and an equal amount in damages. The penalty for repeat wage theft offenders isn't much higher, with a maximum of $1,100. The report notes shoplifters who steal more than $2,500 in merchandise can face felony charges. Last year, a bill was introduced in Congress to tighten wage theft laws. The Wage Theft Prevention and Wage Recovery Act would compensate wage victims with three times their stolen wages, increase civil fines for repeat offenders, and make it easier for employees to act on wage theft. However, Traub notes the bill has stalled completely.
This seems like it should really be a bipartisan issue. We should all be united, especially a president who campaigned on doing the right thing for working Americans, around ensuring that employers don't steal money out of their employees' paychecks.
The report also says retailers spend far more money protecting their stores from theft than the Department of Labor spends enforcing wage laws. In 2015, retailer security spending was almost $9 billion. That's 39 times greater than the Department of Labor's entire wage and hour division budget of about $227 million. This is Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After snapping their 9-game losing streak last night at Tampa Bay, the Cincinnati Reds play the Rays again tonight at 7:10. Joey Votto's RBI single in the top of the 8th snapped a 3-3 tie in Monday's contest, helping Cincy eventually earn a 7-3 win. One thing the veteran first baseman likes about the young Reds is that they never quit.
Guys on our team are growing into, you know, everyday ball players and guys that can compete and help a team win. And, you know, you're seeing our lineup stretch where you get through the middle of the order and it feels like there's more, and then there's not very many easy at-bats as the order moves along. So I think that's a great thing.
The Reds will send 3-5 rookie Amir Garrett to the mound. The homestanding Rays will go with 5-5 Alex Cobb. Meanwhile, Reds fans are wondering if they've seen the last of veteran pitcher Bronson Arroyo. A strained shoulder yesterday landed the 40-year-old right-hander on the team's 10-day disabled list. In coming back from two arm surgeries in the last 3 years, Arroyo has struggled to a 3-6 record with an ERA well over 7. The pitcher tells Fox Sports Ohio if the end of his career is indeed at its end, he can deal with it.
If I was 25, I'd be probably a little bit more panic-stricken because I would have felt like I hadn't finished up what I felt like would have been my life's work. Sure. But for me at this point, you know, like I said, it's all extra credit. I feel like I've done what I came to do in this game, and anything, you know, after this was just fun.
Arroyo says making the Reds out of spring training and getting back to the big leagues put his career on bonus time. The Louisville baseball team engages with Florida tonight at 7 in the winner's bracket of the College World Series in Omaha. U of L coach Dan McDonald says the Cardinals are locked in right now mentally.
We're playing every pitch, every out, every inning as if it's our last. And we don't say that by putting pressure on them, but it's about, and you heard Devin talk, it's just the focus. You know, you want them to stay focused. You don't want them taking their bat to the field. There's no time to feel sorry for themselves. So all the things, you know, coaches preach throughout the year, you hope it really sinks in the postseason.
O'Donnell hopes his club's offensive depth will be the difference maker in the College World Series for the Cards. They're hitting .290 as a team and averaging over 7 runs per game. Round County baseball coach Keith Prater is continuing his fight against leukemia. District Superintendent Marvin Moore says he recently got an update on Prater's conditions from the coach's mother. According to Moore, Prater is in the isolation unit of the Marquis Cancer Center at the University of Kentucky Hospital in Lexington as he undergoes aggressive chemotherapy.
I think for a few days it went okay, but now I think the more they get into it, it's kind of making him a little queasy and sick, which that just causes him along with that and part of that. But Keith, he's a fighter. I feel like with his positive attitude and the support he's got with his family and the community and his school family, that he'll get this behind me and bounce back.
Prater was diagnosed with leukemia just prior to Round's recent appearance in the state finals and was unable to be with the Vikings during their first-round loss to Muhlenberg County. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari has been in Colorado Springs for the last few days, overseeing the United States team that will take part in the FIBA Under-19 World Cup next month in Egypt. During a Sunday scrimmage, Calipari got a look at the 27 players trying to make the squad.
I mean, there's some really good players. There's some veterans that are competed, but there are some young kids here that competed too.
That's Calipari on Kentucky.com. 3 UK players are among those trying to make the under-19 American roster: Hamidou Diallo, Kevin Knox, and P.J. Washington. Some notes from the NBA. San Antonio Spurs forward Pau Gasol plans to decline his player option with the team and become a free agent. Adrian Wojnarowski of The Vertical is reporting that the New York Knicks are in trade talks with multiple teams about potential trades for their star forward Kristaps Porzingis. After firing general manager David Griffin yesterday, ESPN is reporting that former Detroit Pistons star Chauncey Billups is the favorite to become the new GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Cleveland is also working on a trade with the Chicago Bulls to acquire Jimmy Butler, something the Chicago Sun-Times is reporting that Butler is encouraging the Bulls to do. And finally, in sports, Tiger Woods is seeking professional help to deal with pain medication. AP correspondent Shelley Adler reports.
The agent for Tiger Woods says the golfer has checked into a clinic to get help for dealing with pain medication. Mark Steinberg of XL Sports Management adds he couldn't disclose the location of the inpatient treatment Woods is receiving or how long the 41-year-old would be there. Woods said Monday night that he's getting professional help to manage his medications and how he deals with pain and a sleep disorder. Steinberg says Woods' arrest last month in Florida on a DUI charge shook him up. He says he's proud of Woods for seeking help, and he adds the objective is all about a healthy lifestyle more than playing golf again. I'm Shelley Antler.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State Soccer will host a high school team camp July 10th through 13th and an elite college ID camp on Sunday, July 16th. Camps are designed to help develop soccer players in all aspects of the game. More information at 783-2589 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your financial markets report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities traded lower, pulling back from record highs as oil prices fell to their lowest levels since November. And at 3:30, the Dow Industrials were down 46.64 at 21,482.35. The S&P 500 was down 13.43 at 2440.03, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 40.29 at 6198.72. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winter, so the broader market definitely weaker than the Dow Industrial Average would indicate. The S&P today really being dragged down by poor performance in the oil stocks. Chevron and actually Disney also contributed the most to losses. And the NASDAQ Composite declined about 0.5%, obviously pressured somewhat by a pullback in technology stocks today. U.S. crude oil for July delivery fell 2%, finishing at $43.31 a barrel amid signs of rising production. Crude also entered a bear market, trading at least 20% below the recent 52-week high. Also today, Treasury yields went lower as the market dropped. Bond prices also were up today, causing these yields to drop. The benchmark 10-year yield slipped to 2.15%, and the 2-year yield was down slightly to finish at 1.35%. And in corporate news, biopharmaceutical firm Parexel announced it will be acquired by Pamplona Capital Management for $4.6 billion, or $88.10 a share, and this is the latest M&A deal to be unveiled in less than a week. And, of course, last Friday it was announced that Amazon would be buying Whole Foods for $13.7 billion, and yesterday EQT announced an agreement to buy Rice Energy for $6.7 billion. In Europe, markets fell, with the Stock 600 down 0.7%. Asia was mixed, with the Nikkei up 0.8% and the Hang Seng down 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers are Merck and Pfizer, and your worst performers actually now have changed slightly, so that GE and Intel are actually the worst performers at this moment on the Dow industrials. And in the S&P 500, your best performers are AMD and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, and your worst performers are Chipotle and 1OK. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it's Ashland Global up 26 cents at 67.26, AEP up 44 cents at 72.50, CSX down $1.17 at 52.09, AK Steel down 4 cents at 6.24, and Marathon Petroleum is down $1.42 at 52.88. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting Fazoli's Freedom Fest on Saturday, July 1st. Music on two stages by The Wooks, Jericho Woods, Bang Bang, and A Midlife Crisis. Gospel showcase featuring Calvary's Song, Focus, Grace Note, The Sun's Family, and The Well. Gravity Falls Motorsports Cruise In on Main Street, Kids Activities, and a Thunder Over Triplet Fireworks Show at 9:45 p.m. Activities begin at 4 o'clock p.m. Saturday, July 1st. More information on Facebook under Moorhead Freedom Fest.
Taking a look at your weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy with lows around 61 degrees. Tomorrow sunny with partially cloudy skies, highs near 88. Tomorrow night considerable cloudiness, lows near 68 degrees. Thursday partly to mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of scattered showers or thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs near 86. Thursday night the chance of rain goes up to 50% with scattered thunderstorms developing late and lows near 71 degrees. Friday, thunderstorms likely, chance of rain near 100%. Rainfall may reach 1 inch with highs of 78 degrees. Friday night, the chance of rain remains at 100% with rainfall reaching 1 inch again. Thunderstorms in the evening, then cloudy with rain likely overnight, lows around 66 degrees. Saturday, chance of rain at 70% with cloudy skies and occasional rain, highs near 78. Temperatures for the region, it's currently 84 in Ashland, 82 in Flemingsburg, 83 in Inez, and in Winchester. Lexington is sitting at 84 degrees, and it is currently 82 degrees right here on the campus of MSU.
That's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Connection, Mary Sherman, and from WUKY, Josh James. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.